Blog Talk Radio.
Don't move that radio dial any further, because you're at the right station at the right time and at the right place. Welcome to the biggest three-day weekend online. You're listening to this marvelous radio show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We're on live, online, right here, right now. So sit back, relax, and listen and enjoy.
And now, welcome to the show.
You look marvelous, darling.
Yes, you are marvelous. How's everyone doing this beautiful Saturday afternoon? It is this marvelous radio show. For yours truly, the D-Man, Derek Verity. How's everyone doing? Well, it's college football time, so are you ready for some football? Here's Clifton Clark, the Bulldog Fly, baby. Yes.
I'm glad they actually played, they beat South Carolina, because
it wasn't going to be an easy season for this because they had South Carolina, which historically they weren't that big of a competition until Steve Spurrier became the coach. And I remember, and this is probably the first out of, 4 or 5 years that they actually beat South Carolina since Steve Spurrier had been the coach. And I remember when Steve Spurrier used to coach Florida, they used to give Georgia fits, man. And I'm surprised, surprised in a good way because I'm glad they got the W. Over the last 2-3 years, they weren't so lucky, weren't so fortunate with South Carolina, the Gamecock, South Carolina. But I'm glad they did it, and looks like it's not going to be an easy task. I mean, granted, I'm not taking the non-SEC competition for granted. I mean, their competition, they're going to Southern University as the HBCU, which those who don't know, that's basically historically black college. HBCU means historically black college university, which was started by, ex-slaves or free blacks who used to be slaves, I guess, and they're still standing. Either way, I'm glad that they're on the W side on and hopefully have continued success. Speaking of which, speaking of football, who would have thought the Atlanta Falcons would be 2-0, be on top of the NFC South? Along with Carolina, they're tied. I think they're tied with Carolina, 2-0, because Tampa Bay, they lost one, and the New Orleans Saints, they're 0-2 so far. Who would have thought of that? Right now, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and they actually had a great comeback behind win against the New York Giants last Sunday, 24-20, by them, as a matter of fact. And they won it in New York, so who would have thought of that? I mean, come on. So they're going to be playing their next game tomorrow against the Dallas Cowboys in Big D. Yes, they're going to be playing Dallas in Dallas. And I'm not saying it's going to be an easy task. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, but Dez Bryant is hurt and injured, and Tony Romo is out. He's hurt and injured. So hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully they will be successful since the starting quarterback is hurt and Dez Bryant, starting receiver is out as well. Hopefully Atlanta can use that for their advantage. Hopefully they'll be able to get close to a Super Bowl ring in Super Bowl 50, especially since it's their 50th season, so to speak. 50 for 50, Not that it meant to be funny, but I'm just saying, this is the 50th season for the Atlanta Falcons, and this is the season where we're going to have Super Bowl 50, which will be shown on CBS. That's a big thing because a lot of things have been going on since we went for a hiatus. And matter of fact, we'll probably continue to go on hiatus until my film is completed, my documentary, Eat Chips and Die. A lot of things have been going on. Of course, the Late Show with Stephen Colbert is finally started, finally premiered, is back in September 8th, which was the day after Labor Day, the Tuesday after Labor Day, and it's really, really good. It's really, really good. I mean, it's, don't get wrong, it's kind of, I mean, I'm not taking anything against Stephen Colbert. I mean, he's a very funny guy. It's just going to take me a while to watch TV late at night and not hear. The theme song of Late Night, The Late Show with David Letterman. It's going to be weird not to have watch late night TV and not see David Letterman. I mean, for 3 decades now. He outlasted Johnny Carson. That's something. I wish Stephen Colbert the best. Those who've seen my video that I made, on the day of his debut earlier this month, y'all know what I'm talking about. I hope he's done, and he has had a lot of great guests. I mean, George Clooney was his first guest. Matter of fact, he had Kerry Washington on the show last night. She was you know, beautiful as always. But I wish continued success for him. A lot of things happened. Oh, by the way, the Miss America pageant that was on earlier this month as well. Guess what? Miss Georgia won the crown. She is now the current Miss America. She's Miss America 2016. So let's give it up for her. Yes. Yes, Betty Cantrell, that's her name. Betty Cantrell, she's a native of Warner Robins, which is a hop, skip, and jump from Macon. Well, actually 14 minutes away from Macon, Georgia. And even though she is from Warner Robins, she did go to school in Macon. So, you know, we'll take credit where credit's due, wherever we can get it. So, you know, she went to Mount DeSales High School, Mount DeSales Academy. In Macon, which is in Macon. She also attends Mercer University, as well as I think some classes also attended Wesleyan College as well. Both are in Macon, by the way, both colleges. So, you know, hey, whether you're from Macon or Warner Robins or anywhere in Central Georgia, you know, we're being represented by a great, great representative of our state. Matter of fact, she's the first Miss George, Miss Betty Cantrell is the first Miss George to actually win, to be crowned Miss America since Miss Neva Jane Langley Fickling, who was Miss America 1953, who also happened to be from Central Georgia. In fact, she was from Macon. And she studied at Wesleyan College, just like Betty Cantrell. And fortunately, she didn't live to see her win, though, because she had passed away. Miss Fickling, she passed away at the age of 79, back in November 2012. So, but nevertheless, I know she's looking down from heaven saying, congratulations, Betty, you go, girl, you go, you do it, you make Georgia proud. And I think she will. She definitely will. If you ever saw the talent portion of the pageant, she was wonderful. She was wonderful. I mean, she was singing opera, and she's just lovely. I mean, I can't wait when after she finishes her reign, she goes straight to Broadway and start winning some Tony Awards, man. You know, because she definitely has some talent for it, and I wish her well, and I wish her the best. So congratulations to you, Miss Betty Cantrell. Thank you, Betty Cantrell, for representing Georgia and also representing America. Thank you very much, and congratulations. Now, without a further ado, let's get into the news. Yes, as we speak right now, the Pope Francis has left New York City and into, he's now in Philadelphia, where he's going to be speaking less than an hour from now at Independence Hall. Of course, you know, Independence Hall is the place where the founding framers of the United States wrote down the Declaration of Independence. But just for a tidbit of scoop for those who didn't get a chance to hear about this, this happened during our hiatus. Pope Francis, who, by the way, is the first pope from the Americas, from the Western Hemisphere. He was born and raised in Argentina. He's the first Latin American pope to be given the title of Pope. This is his very first trip to North America, to the United States for that matter, as Pope. He was first, became Pope in 2013, replacing Pope Emeritus Pope Benedict. And a couple of days ago, he was in New York City, and before that, he was in Washington D.C., the nation's capital, and before that, he was in Cuba, and it was the first time there was a mass of people going to church because those who didn't know, in case you didn't know, Cuba was, you know, is under communist regime, under Fidel Castro, now under his brother, Raul Castro. He, being communist, you know, basically it's forbidden to practice religion, any religion, especially Christianity. And, I mean, it's basically practically an atheist country, at least on paper. So when the Pope came earlier this week, in fact, this past weekend, I just want to, just want to tell everyone that he had a great following of people last weekend at in Cuba, and they had over 20,000 people to have a mass with him at church service. Over 20,000 people. That is a lot of people going to church in Cuba, and that's got to be probably the biggest collect gathering of people probably in over 50 years since the Castros have been in power. So that was really good. Speaking of Latin America or Latino issues, of course, we're in the midpoint of Hispanic Heritage Month, which is really, calendar speaking, is in between the midpoint, the second half of September and the first half of October. And speaking of TV shows starting and leaving right about now, this year, among those that left this year, matter of fact, this past Saturday, last Saturday evening, was the final broadcast of Sábado Gigante, which was on Univision. And it was which was hosted by Don Francisco, who was the host of that show for 53 years, over half a century. Can you believe that? I mean, that's longer than David Letterman, longer than Arsenio, longer than Johnny Carson. Almost longer than Johnny Carson and David Letterman combined, really. I mean, it's a long, long way. I mean, over 50 years, he's been his show, which is more than an hour long, is like 3, 4, 5 hours long, and it is the most beloved show, one of the longest running, well, probably the longest running variety show in the history of television, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, that is, and it is a big thing. Just want to lift. Just want to talk about that, bring that up, because when you have a show last that long and that's all you've been doing, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, I just want to say felicidades, congratulations, even though I know congratulations is probably not the best thing to say because your show went off the air last Saturday, but I wish you well in future endeavors, and I hope you continue success in whatever else you do, sir. You have the Univision is not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same without you. I can definitely say that. I don't know what they're going to even have. I'm not even know what they're going to have on Univision at 6 or 7 o'clock tonight because it's not going to be the same. It's kind of like watching late night right about now and not seeing David Letterman. It's a totally new frontier. Television-wise, you know what I'm saying? But congratulations, and I wish you the best of luck in your future, Mr. Don Francisco. Here's 53 years of hosting Sábado Gigante, which in Spanish means Gigantic Saturday. And here's to you, Mr. Francisco. Now, going back to the Pope, after he left Cuba, he went to the United States for his first trip, and the first place he went to was Washington D.C., where he met where he was greeted by the president, the first lady, the president's daughters, Sasha and Malia, and also the president's mother-in-law, the first mother-in-law, I guess. And also along with the Vice President Joe Biden and his wife, Dr. Biden, and their two daughters or granddaughters, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong. He had a speech that he went, visited the White House in August, and which was really poignant, he had a speech speaking before Congress. He's the first Pope to actually speak before Congress. That was a historical moment, especially under the Obama administration. Matter of fact, from CNN, during his speech in Congress, which was 2 days ago, this past Thursday, Pope Francis quoted Martin Luther King Jr. in both of his major speeches in Washington during his first trip to America, a sign he is paying attention to the racial tensions in the nation and hoping to be a calming influence, according to some experts saying. Speaking before Congress in the U.S. Capitol on this past Thursday, 2 days ago, the Pope referenced King's famous I Have a Dream speech in March from Selma to Montgomery, which was 50 years ago, by the way, saying he led an effort to achieve his dream for equal rights for African Americans. And he adds that the dream continues to inspire us all. He told the collection of lawmakers, cabinet members, and Supreme Court justices. He used that discussion to talk about the importance of being gracious to refugees and immigrants, speaking broadly about the acceptance of others. He says that the Pope said, quote, that we must resolve now to live as nobly and as justly as possible as we educate new generations not to turn their back on our neighbors and everything around us. Building a nation calls us to recognize that we must constantly relate to others, rejecting a mindset of hostility in order to adopt one of reciprocal subsidiarity in a constant effort to do our best, unquote. And the day before, standing outside the White House and addressing President Barack Obama and thousands of listeners, Pope Francis had also brought up King as part of his call to address climate change. To use a telling phrase of Reverend Martin Luther King, we can say that we have defaulted on a promissory note, and now is the time to honor it, the Pope had said. The mention of King is no accident, said Atlanta Archbishop Wilson Gregory, who was the first African-American elected president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Rather, it's a sign that the Pope is well aware of the increased racial tension in the United States. Archbishop Gregory said that he has a finger on a number of important events and circumstances throughout the globe. He's got our own issues of racial harmony on his radar. I mean, he is the pastor of the world, and so he's got to know what's going on in the world, and he got it. I think his speech is an indication that he knows what's going on in our nation. And according to Gregory, he said that it would have been surprising to him that the Pope not talked about racial tensions, a subject that has gripped the nation with protests since the fatal police shooting of an unarmed 18-year-old in Ferguson, Missouri last year. And remember, also the chairman of Congressional Black Caucus, Representative G.K. Butterfield, said he was sitting with other caucus members for the speech, including civil rights leader Representative John Lewis, who was in the audience when the Pope mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who he marched with in Selma 50 years ago. The North Carolina Democrat said that the group was touched by the mention of King and said that he raised many issues in importance to the caucus. And Butterfield said that he talked directly about poverty in the U.S., and I think he spoke indirectly about race. I would never criticize Pope Francis for not addressing a frontal matter, but he certainly said what needed to be said, and it should give encouragement to the Black Lives Matter movement. Wow, that is something. That is really something else. That is really something else. And speaking of which, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who was among the people who organized getting the Pope to speak in Congress, which is totally unprecedented. He's the first person to do that. Matter of fact, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and Vice President Joe Biden are the first two, I guess you might say, the first two people of Congress, the two biggest ranked people of Congress who are Catholic. And Joe Biden is the first Catholic vice president. So that's something to think about. Well, you know, JFK was the first Catholic president. Joe Biden was the first Catholic vice president. That's something to say. That's something to put in the history books, right? And having Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, and the Speaker of the House, Boehner, standing, sitting behind the probe. That was a serious moment in time to think about that. You know, no wonder, doggone, Speaker Boehner was crying his eyes out, you know, 2 days ago with the Pope being in the U.S. I mean, my goodness. Matter of fact, this is some breaking news. Those who don't know. Matter of fact, it probably, I think Pope touched his heart and stuff like that. You know, after he said the Speaker Boehner said the Pope told him to pray for him. He said, "Who the Pope? Why should I pray for him?" He did. He went on and prayed for him. I'm quite sure the Pope prayed for the Speaker as well. Matter of fact, probably touched so hard, probably touched Speaker Boehner so deep, man. He said, "Look, I'm going to resign. I am going to resign because, like, you know, I mean, basically, there's nothing else he can do. I mean, getting the Pope to speak. I mean, and plus all the strife and struggling that's been going on with the President Obama. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, deep down inside, I mean, he's been given." He's been giving the president fits. I mean, for the last 6.5, 7 years. I mean, so it's not that big of a mystery. But the point is, like, look, I'm going to go ahead and resign because it's not going to get better than this. The Pope told me to pray for him. That has got to be something. That is something else. That is something. I mean, you know. I mean, I can see why he's emotional because he. I mean. Not saying that he's a privileged guy or anything, but he's, you know, I mean, I'm not the one to lightly make fun of dudes. I mean, I know people make fun of Speaker Boehner all the time, you know, for crying every 5 seconds or something like that. You know, I mean, he's a sensitive dude. He's been, I mean, you don't know the people haven't been in his shoes, you know. But I could see why. I mean, I'm a sensitive guy myself. I mean, my goodness, I can't even shoot. I lost count how many times I got emotional, you know, broadcasting Marvelous Radio Show news. I mean, Marvelous Radio Show. I mean, you could probably pick any. You could pick one of the last month, especially when I did. Especially when the last one I did, I basically did it in memory of my high school friend Terry Lefford, who passed away last month. At the age of 46, but I can see why. But you know, I just yeah, and it was kind of good. Even the President Obama even said to him that House Speaker John Boehner is quote unquote a patriot. Even though they didn't see each other eye to eye, even though they didn't even get along with each other, he did respect the guy. And I'm quite sure Speaker Boehner, I hope, had mutual respect for the president as well. So I mean. Having the Pope, organizing the Pope to speak in front of Congress, that's an incredible, if not an unprecedented feat. So he's definitely going to have at least one footnote in the history books. That's for sure. So just want to give a shout out, a round of applause to House Speaker John Boehner, who is resigning. He will be leaving, I guess, Congress at the end of next month, end of October, October 30th. So here's to you, House Speaker Boehner. And last but not least, I got to talk about the Emmy Awards, the 2015 Emmy Awards. The 67th Primetime Emmy Awards, that is so amazing. So freaking amazing. I'm so happy that there's it's just a whole lot of good things that's been talking about it. The only bad thing about it is that it had really low ratings. Even though it made a lot of history, but it made some low ratings. Basically, and it was shown on Fox. I mean, I don't know why. Maybe because it was on Fox. I have no idea. But it says that the 2015 Emmys fall to an all-time low. 11.9 million viewers were watching the Emmys against, which was going on against the opposite, the NFL games that were on while he was on. So this, it was a really bad time to watch the NFL, especially during football games, football season, as you know. And I just want to go into the results about it. That the eighth time's the charm for John Hamm, after being on being denied seven times for best lead actor in a dramatic role. Actor John Hamm, who plays Don Draper in the critically acclaimed and Emmy Award-winning show Mad Men, finally got his Emmy for Best Lead Actor for playing Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama for his performance as Don Draper in the final season of Mad Men. And also, but it was the first time was the charm for Viola Davis. So Viola Davis, she won the trophy for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama for her searing portrayal of a law professor, Annalise Keating, in the debut season of How to Get Away with Murder. Now, Game of Thrones pretty much was the big winner of the night, taking home awards for drama series, supporting actor Emmy for Peter Dinklage, directing for David Nutter, writing for David Benioff and D.D. Weiss. In fact, the HBO fantasy epic broke West Wing's record for the most wins in a year, including the Creative Arts Emmys, with 12 awards. It won 12 awards, more than any other show in 1 year. That is a record, 12 Emmys in 1 year. That broke the West Wing's record. West Wing had nine Emmys. They had nine in 1 year. That is incredible, very incredible. Not only she got her first win, but I also wanted to say that Viola Davis, the Oscar-nominated actress, this is winning her, who previously won a Tony opposite Denzel Washington in a play. I think it was the Piano Lesson, Fences, yeah. It was in Fences. She is the first African-American actress to win an Emmy for Best Lead Actress in a Drama. I was going to say, I got it mixed up with Isabel Sant, who played Weezy Jefferson. She won Best Lead Actress in a Comedy Role, Best Lead Actress in a Comedy Role. So Isabel Sant, who played Weezy Jefferson, she was the first black woman to win an Emmy for Best Lead Actress in a Comedy Role. Viola Davis was the first lead actress to win in a dramatic role, lead actress. I was about to say, what about Gail Fisher? I was about to say, didn't Gail Fisher, but then I looked it up and it says, she went for Mannix, right? But it was the best supporting, outstanding supporting actress in a drama. So it wasn't lead actress, supporting actress. So Gail Fisher, she won for supporting. But still, nevertheless, a win is a win, right? And drama category tonight was divided between veterans and new jacks, rookies. Going to LL Cool J. Says Orange is the New Black star. Uzo Aduba won the supporting category, though she is a veteran. Since she won last year for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy. So she also made, Uzo Aduba won. She's known for playing the character Crazy Eyes in the show Orange is the New Black. So she also made history, winning the first person to win an Emmy in both a drama category and a comedy category. That is amazing. That is so amazing. But I'm going to go into the winners of the ones who won. Game of Thrones beat out Outstanding Drama Series that won for Best Outstanding Drama Series. Outstanding Comedy Series was beat. That was also from HBO. It beat out Modern Family, Louie from FX, Parks and Recreation, NBC, their final season, Silicon Valley and ABC, and Transparent and Amazon, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt from Netflix. Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series was won by John Hamm for Mad Men. Viola Davis won Best Leading Actress Drama Series, How to Get Away with Murder, who beat out Claire Danes in Homeland, and another African-American actress, Taraji P. Henson, who was nominated in Empire. Matter of fact, please check out if you have Hulu, please check out Empire if you didn't get to see the season premiere of this. This was incredible season opening for the second season. Chris Rock did really well, and Marissa Tomei. I have so much respect for her now as an actress now. Outstanding lead actor in the comedy series, Jeffrey Tambor, who won for Transparent, the transgender series, playing a transgender character. Outstanding lead actress in the comedy series, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Outstanding supporting actress in the drama series, Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. Outstanding supporting actor in the comedy series, Tony Hale, won for Veep. He beat out Keegan-Michael Key for Key and Peele. Andre Brau, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and UJ Zone and BT Zone, Titus Burgess for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. You know, congratulations on leasing your Emmy nomination. So I'm glad that you at least did get that, because you know he went to UJ and he's also alumnus from Black Magic Ensemble like myself. Outstanding supporting actress in the comedy series, Allison Janney for Mom. Wow. Who beat out a lot of folks. Mayim Bialik in The Big Bang Theory, Niecy Nash in Getting On. Wow. Julie Bowen, Modern Family, Kate McKinnon in Saturday Night Live, Jane Krakowski in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Wow. That was a lot. And Anna Chomsky in Veep. Wow. A lot of talented people there. A lot of talented people. I mean, this, what should to paraphrase Highlander, there can be only one Emmy winner in those categories. And that's pretty much all I have right now for today's broadcast of the Marvelous Radio Show. I just hope that you continue to listen to us until we get out of hiatus every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. and every Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. I'm so glad that you came to listen to me. After this hiatus, we're going to continue to go back into hiatus until my film is completed, my documentary. My film is completed, which is Eat Chips and Die. Matter of fact, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be in this play in Atlanta. It's going to be performing at Morehouse College called The Red Spider. I hope you get a chance to see it. It's going to be playing at October 9th and 10th. October 9th is a Friday, and the show is going to be 10 a.m. Saturday show. October 10th is going to be at noon. Please be there. Please get your tickets as soon as possible. And the tickets, I think, are $12. Definitely check it out. You won't regret it. I hope you get a chance to have a good time and be able to watch me perform. It's the first time I've been in a play in 3 years, so I hope you all will be excited to check us out. Check me out. Check the whole cast out, really. It's a brilliant cast. Anyway, I just want to close the show with a classic song by the Sister Sledge, We Are Family, and I definitely like to think of us as family. As a matter of fact, Sister Sledge will be singing this song when right about now in about 25 minutes from now, when the Pope will be speaking at Independence Hall in Philadelphia this afternoon. So I hope you're having a wonderful time. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to say, for our weather, Middle Georgia listeners, it's 77 degrees with a high of 79 and a low of 62. Please enjoy the sunshine while you can, because you know we're going to have some more rain coming up today and later tomorrow. It's going to be a wet weekend, everybody. I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully when my film gets finished, we'll be back and have another wonderful, marvelous weekend. Until then, take care, everyone. This is Sister Sledge with We Are Family, and may you have a wonderful Saturday. Yes, everybody.
Yeah.